How do you do? Unless you're a genius, you've known the embarrassment of struggling to understand some difficult concept. Well, the man in this story struggled to understand many things because he had a learning disability. And yet, he perceived something that many people never grasp in a lifetime. And when he did, his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Stop. I just want to tell him I know what else.
Stop talking and lie down on your bed.
No, I just want to introduce myself and tell them how I'm going to change their lives.
It's the middle of the night and they're sleeping.
I have an important message.
Stop talking. That new patient still hasn't settled down.
Yeah, give him a sedative. Hey, he's not violent, is he?
Nah, just delusional. But he'll wake up the others and then we'll have problems.
Oh, he's out of bed again. Get the hypodermic.
No. Leave me alone. Get your hands off me. No, I don't want that.
We'll need restraints, too.
I had a sign from God.
Let's just tie him down here.
No. You're hurting me. Why are you hurting me?
It's your own fault, buddy. You wouldn't listen.
This is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Some might think the homeless live lives of freedom. They don't have jobs or families or even homes to tie them down, yet they are anything but free. They carry invisible but heavy burdens when they come to Pacific Garden Mission, burdens like guilt, shame, and regret. The mission has been a refuge for street people ever since it opened in 1877, welcoming those the world has rejected. A nourishing meal, clean clothing, and a good night's sleep in a safe environment help each man, woman, and child feel secure and worthwhile. Some need medical and dental care, which the mission also provides. And all of this is made possible by friends and listeners who give that others may live. Above all, Pacific Garden Mission shares the good news that God loves each one and offers new life, and this truth is what sets us free. Like the man in this story. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2,553 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The man in our story was locked in the psychiatric ward of a large hospital in Brooklyn. He had lived in New York all of his life, a third-generation Eastern European Jew whose grandparents came to America in the late 1800s, and struggled to make a better life for their children. This is the story of how his life came unraveled and then was mended. It's the true story of Alan Carey, right now on Unshackled.
My parents wanted children very badly, but mother had two miscarriages before I was born in 1949. My sister came 3 years later. We were both cherished, but we also had problems. My sister April had a heart defect, corrected by surgery. I had a learning disability, discovered in public school.
Abe, Alan's teacher says he can't read.
Yeah, he's still young, Ray.
He's a slow learner, she says. He's way behind the other kids. He's being put in slower class already.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Maybe we can hire a tutor.
Do whatever it takes. You have to be able to read to survive in this world.
I don't understand. I love to read. I always wanted to go to college, but never had the money. I thought someday he would go to college, but now I don't know.
He's still young, Ray. He'll learn.
I hope so. He starts Hebrew school in the fall. What'll happen then?
The Hebrew lessons quickly overwhelmed me, and I came to dread the days I had to attend class. My father was unable to help me or comfort me because he himself was troubled with depression. As the time for my bar mitzvah approached, my anxiety grew.
How come the long face, Alan?
I can't do this book report, Mom. It's impossible.
I'll help you.
Then there's this Hebrew to memorize. Why do I have to have a bar mitzvah anyway?
We've been through all this before, Alan. Every Jewish boy in our family has a bar mitzvah, and you will too.
I hate it.
It's your heritage.
The rabbi wants to give me private lessons in Hebrew.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's terrible. I don't understand a word of what he says in Hebrew. I just memorize sounds.
You'll get through it. Everyone does.
I can't wait for this to be over and done with.
After my bar mitzvah, I seldom went to the synagogue. During that time, my father's depression got so bad, he had to be hospitalized one day while I was in school.
Ellen, I had to take your father to the Veterans Hospital.
Why, Mom?
Severe depression. War does terrible things to people, Ellen.
Why'd he have to fight anyway?
He thought it was his duty, even though he had punctured eardrums.
He was really brave. Not everybody gets a Silver Star and a Purple Heart, too.
He's lucky he wasn't killed. A lot of men died in the Battle of the Bulge.
He told me once that men died in front of him and in back of him.
You live through something like that, and sooner or later it catches up to you.
But, Mom, what's going to happen to us now?
Don't worry, Alan. I'm working, and I'll visit your dad until he can come home. You'll have to look after your sister and do your lessons.
My father came home after 6 months, but his extreme mood swings kept me at a distance. Mother was often hospitalized, too, and had major surgery my first year of high school. Her absence created an air of uncertainty in our home, but we never discussed it. Meanwhile, I struggled through high school with the help of a tutor, but with very few friends. A severe case of acne and poor sportsmanship compounded my problems, but I graduated in 1967.
Time for you to get a job, Alan.
No, Abe, he's going to college.
How can I do that, Mom?
If you don't, you'll be drafted and end up in Vietnam.
I served in the Army.
That was different, Abe. We don't belong in Vietnam. There's no way I want our son getting killed over there.
I can't get into college with my grades, Mom.
There's got to be a place that'll accept you. We just have to look. You're not going into the Army.
Long Island University accepted me in a special program, and I started in the fall of 1967 when anti-war protests dominated the campus. I'd been interested in photography since junior high, so I worked on the college newspaper as a photographer. But I had no real direction in life except to stay out of the Army. By December, I was so depressed, I went to the school counseling service, and they recommended therapy.
Tell me about yourself, Alan. What's going on in your life?
I've been very depressed. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. It all seems so futile.
Has something happened to trigger this?
I don't know. It's just everything, I guess.
Tell me about everything.
I've never had any close friends. I was always the last one picked for softball. The other kids called me the Statue of Liberty because I wouldn't swing at the ball. I was afraid of missing it, and I usually did.
Was that the only area of difficulty?
No. I have a learning disability. Teachers called me lazy and slow all through my school years.
And your family?
Mother always said it was just a phase I was going through, that I'd get over it. But I never did. Classes are still a struggle. But I have to stay in school, otherwise I'll get drafted. And I don't want to go to Vietnam.
How does your family feel about this?
Well, it was my mother's idea. My father doesn't say much. He has his own problems from fighting in World War II.
What kind of problems?
Depression. Well, sometimes he's real happy. Sometimes he hardly speaks at all and can't go to work. Did I inherit that from him?
Don't worry. I think with help, you'll outgrow this condition, Alan.
For the next 2 years, I continued in school and also with weekly therapy sessions. In the spring of 69, when I was 20, I had a girlfriend for the first time. I spent a lot of extra time in school just to be with her, which made problems at home because she was a Gentile. The conflict at home was so intense, I left the family apartment and stayed at a dorm at school for several weeks. Because of the family problems, I didn't complete the English course for my associate degree. Then my girlfriend's parents decided not to send her back to New York in the fall.
How do you feel about your girlfriend not coming back to school this year?
Frustrated. Angry. But there's nothing I can do about it. I'm sure my mother is happy. She won't be very happy about my dropping out of school, though.
Oh?
I'm taking a leave of absence.
What are your plans?
I'm going to work for a while and earn some money. I already applied for a job as a taxi driver, and I do some photography work for real estate. So I drove a taxi for the next 9 months. In July 1970, Mother came home from work with a terrible pain in her stomach, so my father called an ambulance. She'd been in the hospital many times before, so I wasn't concerned. The doctors tried many treatments to stop the pain, but she didn't get any better. The end of August, she was in the hospital, and my dad had some bad news.
Alan, you're a big boy now, and it's time you knew that your mother isn't going to live much longer.
How long does she have?
A couple of months, at most.
A couple of months?
Don't say anything to her, or to your sister. We have to spare them as long as we can.
Yeah, okay, Dad. I have to go in the house.
I'm going to go visit her now.
This is Dr. Feldman.
Dr. Feldman, it's Alan Carey. My mother is dying.
In a moment, we'll learn how this affected Alan. Troubled people of any age try to escape their problems through alcohol, drugs, or even by running away. Well, Jack Martin tried all three. His story was told first on Unshackled and then in a comic book illustrated by Florida artist Bill Waters. And we'd like to give you a free copy of this comic book to enjoy and then pass along to someone else who would benefit by reading Jack Martin's true story. Most people find this comic book irresistible. The drawings tell of God's amazing power to make something good from a wasted life. All who read are encouraged. Some even use our comic books as a way to reach out to friends who are lost and struggling with similar problems. Write and ask for your free copy, which is small enough to carry in a pocket, ready to give away as the Lord leads. Just ask for the Jack Martin comic book when you write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
I quit driving a taxi so I could spend more time with my mother at the hospital. After 2 more months of treatment, she came home, where nurses took care of her around the clock. I fetched her medicine from the pharmacy. Otherwise, I did nothing but wait and wonder. On November 12th, 1970, my mother lost her battle with cancer. My father rallied to make the arrangements for a Jewish funeral, while I was left in a dazed state of mind. My therapist tried to console me.
Death is not easy for anyone to face, Alan.
But she was my mother.
How is the rest of your family doing?
My sister didn't know it was coming, and she cried more than anyone. I knew, but what could I do? I felt so useless. All my life I felt useless, worthless.
Even doctors are helpless in some situations.
I know, but there was nothing I could do. She had so much pain at the end. Even the strong medicine hardly helped. Why do people have to suffer like that? Why did she have to die?
Those are hard questions.
You know how it is after Jewish funerals. Everyone comes together and talks and consoles one another. What good are words? Words don't help.
Did you join the rest of your family?
No. I stayed in my room by myself. How can I live without my mother? She was always there for me. I turned inward more and more, thinking only of myself and my grief, unable to consider the loss that other family members felt. To make matters worse, I began using marijuana, which caused problems that I could not have imagined. After several months of isolation, I received a draft notice from the Army, adding to my anxiety.
How soon are you supposed to report, Alan?
Next week.
Are you worried about this?
Yeah, I can't go into the Army. Hey, will you write a letter and tell them I can't serve because of severe emotional problems?
I can do that.
I haven't told my father anything.
Are you concerned about his reaction?
No. He's just very depressed right now. He doesn't say much to anyone. I reported to the military base in Brooklyn for my physical, but they discovered that I had high blood pressure, so I was off the hook, disqualified from the draft. Suddenly, I had time on my hands, and I started getting out doing photography again. And that's when I met Judy. We dated for several months, and I even met her parents.
So, what do you think of my parents?
Yeah, I like them. They're really nice.
They liked you too, Alan. I could tell.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you, though, Judy. We can't get seriously involved.
Why? You're good company, Alan, and we share a lot of the same interests.
Well, I have no way to make a real income, and I don't want to drive a taxi for the rest of my life.
You're not going to finish your degree, then?
No.
Well, what about your photography?
I don't think I'm good enough to do it professionally. I've entered a few contests, but I never won anything.
It doesn't matter to me if you're not a big tycoon, Alan.
I'll probably never marry, Judy. I'm not the marrying type. She was disappointed, but didn't try to persuade me, and we remained friends. My use of marijuana increased, and I began experiencing great energy, which was exhilarating after being depressed for so long. Then in late February, I awoke early one morning and something extraordinary happened, something that filled me with even more energy. I started calling people I had not seen in several years, and I went to see Judy.
Alan, come in.
The most amazing thing happened to me this morning, Judy. I got up early, which is unusual for me, and I happened to look out the window. A very bright star appeared in the sky, and I heard a voice within saying, "Alan, all your suffering and troubles have been for a purpose. Even your mother's death. All of your past was to prepare you. You have a special purpose in life. You are the brother of Jesus."
Jesus?
Isn't that amazing? Tears came to my eyes.
Alan, I've never heard you talk about Jesus before.
I know. It's a sign from God, isn't it? The name of Jesus was never, ever mentioned in our home.
What do you think this means?
I'm not sure yet. My mind is just racing with ideas. I talk to people I haven't seen in a long time. It's like I'm a new person.
Yes, you are.
This morning, I went back to my old high school and told them about my mission.
Your mission?
To help the world. I saw my old teacher, and he said he hadn't felt well for a long time. I told him he would be better from now on. See? I have unusual powers.
Alan, this isn't like you at all. Maybe you should talk with a counselor and see what's going on.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I haven't felt this good in years. God has given me new strength. He has a purpose for me. Another friend became so concerned about my strange behavior that he took me to the hospital at 1 o'clock in the morning. There I was placed in a locked unit with the most severely disturbed patients. I wasn't violent, but I couldn't stop talking. That's when they gave me a shot and tied me down to the bed. Over the next several weeks, the doctors gave me strong medication to stabilize my mental condition, and I became very depressed again. Finally, they released me to my father's care.
Hello? Yeah, he's home now. No, he's the same. Doesn't talk to anyone, doesn't go out. You did? I wasn't here. And he never answers the door or the phone. Now, we're going to a different doctor now. This one wants to try electroshock therapy. I don't know. Maybe it was his mother's death.
For the next 3 years, I lived in almost total isolation from my family. We shared the same apartment, but I didn't talk to them. Often I cried tears of anger and bitterness. Many times I thought of suicide as my only way out. I was chained in my mind. Once in a while, I went out and took photographs. I stopped using marijuana because of its effects on my emotions. One Saturday, while photographing an old man with a beard who wore a sign that said, "Jesus Saves," I overheard a woman tell him about a meeting that day for Messianic Jews. The meeting was nearby, so I went. I sat in the balcony and listened as one person after another talked about Yeshua, the Messiah.
My name is Rachel. I grew up in an Orthodox home. I heard about God growing up, but he always seemed unreachable, you know, hidden by all the rules. We weren't even allowed to speak the name of Jesus in our family. But I know now that he is Yeshua, the Messiah, that God promised Israel. I was so afraid to trust him, you know, afraid of what my family would say. But I needed God so badly that one day I did pray and ask him to come into my life, and he did. It's all true. He's everything they say he is and more. Every day he gives me joy and counsel. Every day I love him more because he first loved me. How I look forward to seeing him in heaven someday. Don't be afraid to put your faith in Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel.
I never heard anything like this before. Jewish people talking about Jesus, the Messiah? I listened for 45 minutes, then left pondering these things. But I didn't go back because it was so far from my home. As the months passed, a deep depression settled over me, and I began to seriously think about suicide. But the possibility of a real hell and heaven plagued me. Should I try Jesus? I had nothing to lose. So the week after Thanksgiving, I made plans to go to a meeting of the Messianic Jews that weekend. The meeting was brief, so the speaker told me to come to another gathering later that day in Manhattan. When I arrived, he introduced me to some of the people.
Alan, I'm Doug, and the pretty girl is my fiancée, Mimsy.
Yeah. Hi. I'm here for the meeting.
That's downstairs in about 20 minutes. Sit down if you like.
Thanks. I'm trying to learn more about Jesus.
You came to the right place, Alan. We're Jews, and we believe in Yeshua as our Messiah.
I'm almost 25 years old, and it wasn't until a few months ago that I ever heard of such a thing.
What would you like to know?
How come there are so many different churches if they all believe in Jesus?
There are many different religions in the world, but only one way to salvation, through Yeshua the Messiah, the Lord Jesus.
How can you be sure that he's the Messiah?
He fulfills all the prophecy about the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 53 describes him clearly, despised and rejected. Isn't that how we treat him?
Yes.
And yet the prophet also describes him as our Redeemer and King. He was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. But other prophets also spoke of him. Micah predicted his birth in Bethlehem, chapter 5, verse 2. See?
You read.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
And Jesus was born in Bethlehem?
Yes, he fulfilled all the prophecies. Zechariah predicted his betrayal by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. His death on the cross for our sins, his burial and resurrection are all mentioned in the Psalms.
Why don't more Jews believe in him then?
God says their eyes are blinded. Look. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
You really know the Bible.
That's how I know he's the Messiah. Not only the prophecies, but also his works. He did many miracles, Alan. His first miracle was turning water into wine. That's symbolic of what he does to us when we believe in him. An amazing transformation takes place in our lives. He opened the eyes of the blind. We're spiritually blind until God opens our eyes so that we can see Jesus for who he is, the Son of God. He made the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He also healed lepers. Symbolic of cleansing our sins. And of course, he raised the dead, which he does when we're born again. We're spiritually dead until we receive him, Alan. He will also raise us up after death to everlasting life.
I believe what you're saying. I need Yeshua as my Messiah. What do I have to do now?
Tell him you want to receive new life. Ask him to forgive your sins and come into your life and be your Lord and Master.
In my own words, I asked the Lord Yeshua to forgive me and help me live for him. I asked him to forgive me for a mess I made of my life and for wanting to take my life. As I thanked him for dying for me, a great burden was being lifted off of me. Then they said a short prayer for me also.
You are now a child of God, Alan. Your spiritual birthday is today, December 1st.
I actually feel different, but what do I do now?
Read the Bible daily and attend a church that teaches sound doctrines. No one can snatch you out of God's hand, but Satan will try to make you doubt.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think it's a good idea to go back to my home. I've been depressed there for years. Do you know a place where I could stay for a while?
You can stay with me, Alan. I'll help you study the Bible.
I went home and packed a few things. I stayed only a week with Doug, and he helped me with Bible study every day. He also told me about several churches in Brooklyn. Then I went back home.
I'm glad you're back, Alan.
I was staying with a Jewish man who believes Jesus is the Messiah, Dad.
Huh?
Did you know that there are lots of Jews who believe in Jesus?
Oh?
Dad, I believe too. I've been reading the scriptures, and they confirm that it's true. So I prayed and asked him into my heart, and it was like a big load was lifted from me. I feel so much peace now. I was ready to commit suicide before I received Yeshua as my Savior.
Alan, if it helps you, I'm glad.
Dad, would you go to a service with me and learn about him?
No.
That was 22 years ago, and my father and sister still need prayer for salvation. My father remarried in 1975, and I moved in with a Hebrew Christian family who had a ministry in their home. For 3 years, I was mentored and learned to walk faithfully with Christ. I still have my struggles, but no depression, because Yeshua, my Messiah, is always with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God's word is true, and I've experienced it in my life.
It is our prayer that Alan Carey's testimony has encouraged you in some way. Friend, the Holy One of Israel will lead you from death to life. All you have to do is ask. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 promises, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you would like to receive some literature which will help you in this crucial decision, just write to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And you may visit our website at www.unshackled.org. Please take time to thank the manager of this station for including us in their lineup. And there's no better way to ensure that next week you'll hear another true testimony on Unshackled. This is program number 2,553. Heard in the true story of Alan Carey were Fred Stone, Nancy Sellers, Ray Van Steen, Karen Anglin, Joanne Silvestrak, and Peter Spector. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Don't forget about us. We'd like to hear from you to know that these true stories make a difference in your life. Write today. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. In a crisis, call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. Thank you. How do you do?